You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Monday edition of Game Misconduct. I am Don LaGreca, and on Mondays I'm joined by EJ Raddick from the NHL Network, NHL Now, between the hours of 4 and 6 Eastern. And he's up in Toronto today for the Hall of Fame ceremonies. Nice enough to join us. How are you, sir?
I am good. Nice to be back up here, and nice to be at the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. It's been a couple of years. But I always kind of enjoy coming up here and do the interviews as guys go down the carpet, the various guests and dignitaries, as they might say, in hockey.
So, yeah, it's been a crazy couple of days. And you look at Friday and Saturday with the Leafs playing those back-to-back games at home. And I go back to Friday and the ceremony introducing the new inductees and the old Leaf inductees and to see what Boreas Selming is going through with ALS. And what really struck me watching that ceremony, EJ, was Darryl Sittler's reaction. I mean, this is a guy that played with him, friends with him, and he and Matt Sundin are literally holding him up, and you could see the tears. Sittler cried through the whole thing. I mean, just how emotional that must be to see a friend, a teammate, a Hall of Famer, a great, strong man go through what he's going through. It just must be tearing the heart out of his family and anybody that's close to him.
Yeah, it's an awful disease, right? ALS to deal with, and for anyone who goes through it. And so it's sad to watch. There's no question. It was heartbreaking to see the situation unfold this weekend, and just. It's just good that Borya has people around him, his family and his friends. And, you know, when these guys were teammates when they were young and strong and, you know, time goes by and, it takes its toll on all of us. So it was, very, very touching. And it's very, very sad to see anyone really go through ALS.
Yeah.
I know there are younger people that go through that. And, it's heartbreaking to watch. I don't know what else to say.
No,
it was a touching moment for Boreas Selming, who was one of the great players. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the good news is that we've gotten to kind of celebrate Boreas again. And for a new generation of fans who don't really know what he meant to the NHL and to Swedish players and to the Toronto Maple Leafs, I mean, they are understanding it now, what a great, great player he was.
So let's try to get to more mundane things, which is the actual league and the games compared to what the real life stuff that we saw over the weekend. And I know you got to call the Flyer game over the weekend, EJ, and it seems like things are kind of falling apart a little bit for the Flyers team. And from seeing it from the outside looking in, and since you called the game, you let me know, but it seems like Carter Hart really carried this team early. And now this hasn't been the case, and now the Flyers find themselves out of the playoffs, just 3 wins in their last 10. They've dropped 3 in a row. What are you seeing from the Flyers right now?
Well, I mean, it's not really a surprise. I mean, Carter Hart wasn't going to play, you know, wasn't going to have a 960 save percentage throughout the whole season. I mean, he played on Saturday against Ottawa. It was Sandstrom on Sunday against Dallas. And, I thought both goaltenders played fine. It's just that the special teams really let down the Flyers. Their power play was not very good. They didn't generate a lot of good chances. They didn't generate momentum. In fact, they ceded momentum in the game on the power play. They gave a shorthanded goal to the Stars in the game yesterday. The penalty killing wasn't very good. John Tortorella talked after the game on Saturday about taking dumb penalties. They took more penalties. Or a couple more penalties on Sunday. It's going to be tough. I think they got out of the gate in part. You know, obviously Carter Hart was terrific, and he continues to play well. But I thought the other thing was that Tortorella really put them through a real tough training camp, and there was a lot of skating. And I think they were, quite frankly, I think they were just a little bit fitter than other teams that they played maybe in the first month, and I think that catches up with them. And I think when you look at their roster, Don, I mean, they have got just some just crushing critical injuries. I mean, Sean Couturier hasn't played a game this year. Cam Atkinson, it's kind of was supposed to be day-to-day. He has not played a game this year. Ryan Ellis may never play in the league again. You know, that's really unfortunate. Acquired him from Nashville a couple of years ago. It just hasn't worked out for him in Philadelphia. Van Riemsdyk got hurt. Wade Allison got hurt. I mean, they're missing, you know, a number of key players within that group. So when you look at their roster, it's a struggle. I mean, they're picking up guys off waivers and trying to patch guys in, and Tortorella's trying to put a new system in. So I think it's going to continue to be a struggle for them. But the thing is that their level of desire and care on a night-to-night basis is obviously way up under Tortorella, and that's really the most important thing they're trying to accomplish this year, is to reestablish a culture and reestablish the fact that they're a tough team to play against. They're going to play hard night after night after night. I just don't know if they have the roster, the people on that roster to make that happen unless these guys can come back from injury, and a lot of them are coming back for a while.
Another team that's really hit the skids after a pretty decent start is Buffalo. They've dropped five in a row. What's happening there?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, they've had a couple of injuries, and, you know, the kid Matthias Samuelson, they signed him to a big contract prior to the season, and then he got hurt. He was playing with Dahlin, and, you know, so that kind of forced him to shuffle some guys around. Yuki Haru's been out, and, you know, I just think that they're, you know, that's it's a fine line with the Buffalo Sabres. They're still a rebuilding team. It's still like the Ottawa Senators. It's, you know, it's still like the Detroit Red Wings. I mean, there's going to be stretches where I think they're going to play really well. But there's going to be other stretches where it's going to be a challenge. And, you know, they don't have, you know, someone that's, you know, locked in goal that has this, you know, is a presence in net for them. I mean, they've got Comrie, who I think is a good young goalie and who's getting an opportunity, and that's great for him, and we'll see how things play out. And you got Craig Anderson, who's, you know, an older goalie. I mean, he's into his 40s now. And so, you know, I just think it's going to be an up-and-down year for those teams. There's going to be turbulence along the way, and I think the Sabres have shown some signs that they're going to be they got a chance to be much better down the road, and I think they've just got to continue to try to deal with the reality of the situation and just continue to build their culture and continue to build the young players there. I mean, Dahlin and Power and Thompson has really emerged, and Tuck is a good young player. I mean, they've got a lot of pieces there still. So I think it's, you know, again, it's like Detroit, it's like Ottawa. There are challenges, there are holes, and they've just got to continue to work and continue to be hard to play against and try to create a culture within those locker rooms.
You know, you mentioned Ottawa, and you know, I looked at this team even going into last year as a team that was on the uptick, and you go out and you get Giroux, you go out and get DeBrincat, and it just really hasn't gained very much traction. Talbot, you know, between the pipes, I really thought they would challenge. It's kind of been slow there. Is DJ Smith in any trouble?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. I don't think there's – when I look at their group, I don't know if there's been a lot of growth amongst their young players. So that would be an area that you'd look at the coach over the last – he's been there. I think this is his fourth year, so it's not like he just got hired. So I think that's a question. And I don't like the way they defend. I don't like the structure of their team. I know they're young, and, you know, personnel-wise, again, there's some challenges. But, you know, I watched them against the Devils on Thursday, and then I was at the game against Philly where they won on Saturday. And, you know, I just don't think they defend very well. And, you know, I think that's one of the toughest jobs in the league is being the goaltender for the Ottawa Senators, because you're giving up chances. And now Shabbat, who is, you know, a highly skilled player, but a guy who is a kind of a loose defender as well, he ended up getting hit from behind by Travis Konechny the other day, ends up with a concussion. He's going to be out a while. So now that's a huge loss, because that's a guy who plays a ton of minutes on the blue line for the Senators. So, you know, again, it's the same thing, Detroit, Buffalo, Ottawa. There's some other teams around the league in the same boat. I mean, they're getting better. They've built up their talent base. There's a lot to be excited about. But all that said, this is a hard league to win. And, you know, if you don't defend well, you're going to be in for some long nights.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
Got a chance to call the last two Ranger games, the loss against Nashville, where I thought they played well. It just Soros stood on his head. Rangers had some opportunities on the power play, went 0-for-5. Kind of meandered through a win against the Coyotes yesterday. Maybe they were tired. You know, the time change coming over from Nashville. Tough back-to-back situation. But I don't know. Something seems to be just lacking there a bit. They're a good team, but it looks like they should be better. Their power play is kind of – it was described by Gallant before the game yesterday, EJ, is that they were bored, which was – maybe he was struggling for the right word, but I talked about it with Dave during the broadcast. He's like – I would say maybe not creative, but certainly not bored. Yeah. But it does seem like the same kind of song and dance. You know, Panarin to Fox, Fox to Zibanejad, set him up for the one-timer, doesn't work, get a deflection in front. It just, something just seems to be missing there. They did lose something last year, right? They lose Kopp, they lose Vetrano, they lose Strom. So it's a different team than last year, but in a lot of ways I think could be better. So Shesterkin is not lights out like he was last year, but am I wrong to think that something might be missing there with the Rangers? And does Drury have the capability to make a move to kind of change the way things have been here early in the season?
Yeah, I think that Chris will look at it and continue to watch it with his staff, and they will, you know, when the time comes down the stretch, they'll try to identify, you know, what they could use to help and fill in some of those pieces. That's the nature of the NHL these days, especially with the flat cap world, Donnie. I mean, you just couldn't keep some of those players. So now, and you wanted to sign others, so you have to, you know, think about the big picture as well. But they might be in a position to add a piece or two at the deadline,
right,
like they did last year. And those guys were invaluable. And you just mentioned a couple of them, I mean, that they brought in and were really important pieces. I mean, I've been joking lately. I might have joked with you about it last week. This season has been crazy. I have not been right about a lot of things this year, and we do our picks, and it's night to night. It's a real challenge. But the one thing I think I've been on the ball with was the Rangers. I just felt like the Rangers this year, I think there was going to be more adversity in their season. You know, Kreider's not going to get 52 again. Shesterkin's not going to play to a 940 again. You know, they got some guys that they probably missed, and there's probably guys, you know, again, from the outside, we don't know the impact of just the day-to-day of some of the guys, their impact on that group and the relationship. So that takes time to kind of settle out a little bit too. But I felt there would be more adversity in the regular season. But I think that they'll try to make some adjustments as they go. And I think when we get to playoff time, and I think they're a playoff team, I think they're really well kind of well-slotted in a lot of areas. You know, I think they're going to be a really tough out. In fact, I think they have a great chance to win the Stanley Cup. Now, we're a long way away from that. I think there will be some changes along the way, and they've got to stay healthy, and they've got to have, obviously, Shesterkin is the most important piece of the puzzle. But, I mean, they're good in a lot of areas. The one area that really does worry me, and we talked about this last week, and I talked about it with Steve Valiquette during the week and some others as well, is just that those young players for the Rangers, you know, when you think about Kako and Lafreniere and Kravtsov and Hedl, I mean, like, you just wonder, they're very young, and I'm not going to sit here and, you know, and give up on these guys in any way. But you do want to see, you know, additional production. You want to see growth.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know if I'm necessarily seeing that a couple of years in. And I also think it's part and parcel of the league we are in now where guys get drafted, and if they're really high picks like Lafreniere and Kako, they come right into the National Hockey League. And, you know, maybe they could have used some time, you know, at different levels or at the minor league level. But it doesn't happen now, so I'm not going to fault the Rangers for that. I mean, I think Jack Hughes certainly shouldn't have been in the NHL as right out of the draft, and there are many others, many other examples over the years. And, you know, sometimes that maybe that hurts the growth. But we'll have to continue to watch those guys during the year, because when you're young and you're that skilled, at any moment your development could take a big jump. So we'll have to keep an eye on those guys. That's the group of players I'm really watching.
Well, we talked about it last week. Like, everybody's got skill. You know, you look at Ocampo Kakko, and I think he's highly skilled, and I think he's starting to grow into a really good player. And he can move, he can handle the puck, and sometimes I'm just in awe of some of the opportunities he's able to create off of his skill. Yeah. But is there finish there? You know, can it lead to you scoring 35, 40 goals? Same with Lafreniere. He has proven he can play in this league, but is there that finish, the ability to score? Yeah. Spent a lot of time in the zone, a lot of fancy plays, but what is the result in? Losing the puck or not getting a quality opportunity. And I look at their right wing. Kravtsov has not worked out. This poor kid, EJ, has already left 3 games this year because of injury. Yeah. Couldn't play in Nashville. Now has missed 2 games because of the flu, and then he had some dental issues he had to go through. I mean, the kid just seems snake bit, but he only's had 1 point in the games that he's played. They've got VC playing the right wing on the top line now, and I think VC's played really well, but I don't know if he's a top line right winger. Is there any way they can work something out for Patrick Kane?
Well, I mean, the time will come. I guess it's not going to happen now. I mean,
right.
I would think it would have to come right close to the trade deadline. We'll have to see what happens in Chicago. A lot of that's going to be on Patrick's plate. You know, is he going to want to leave Chicago? And if so, is he okay coming to New York? It all sounds good, right? I mean, yeah, coming to New York, it's a really good team. Panarin is there. He had success with him before. I mean, it all sounds great. Question is, you know, does Patrick want to do that? And do the Rangers, I mean, the Rangers certainly have the assets, I think, to make that kind of move, but do they want to move those assets? That's another question. So there's a lot that plays into it, but yeah, I mean, that's one that everybody is kind of going to circle, right? And say, yeah, that makes sense. But even if you get Patrick in here and he's a great player, is he the piece or the fit that makes the difference? And, you know, as great a player as he is, we've seen a number of examples over the years where teams go out and get good players. I mean, Florida Panthers went out and got Claude Giroux last year. Now, I don't know if he's quite at the same level as Patrick Kane right now, but he's a pretty darn good player. And I think they scored all of 2 goals in 4 games against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So sometimes guys come in and it doesn't happen. So I think it's certainly a possibility, but, you know, again, we got a long way to go between now and then. It'll all depend on the player, really.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
I just cannot say enough about what I've seen from the Boston Bruins. I mean, this team, 14-2, plus 30 goal differential. I mean, and the thing is, like, we saw Florida and Carolina get off to great starts last year, especially Florida. But it happening in Boston where it really looked, you know, coaching change, it looked like maybe they were going to go rebuild, right? That they and it wasn't like they didn't have injuries. McAvoy finally plays on Thursday for the first time all year. I mean, he's a Norris Trophy candidate. He's not nobody. You know, there's been guys like Krejci's been out of the lineup. It hasn't been like they haven't faced adversity. This looks, I mean, is this clearly the best team in the NHL outside of Vegas? Is this smoke and mirrors, or is this legit? Feels legit.
No, I think it's a very good team. I don't think there's any question about it, but it is November, right? And we've seen teams get off to good starts before, and you know, it's a long way between here and June. So a lot is going to happen. They got an older group in some areas, key players that, you know, they need to continue to stay healthy and playing well, and so far they are. Jim Montgomery has kind of given them a new lease on life. I think, you know, when you do the work on what happened in Boston, you got to give Don Sweeney and Cam Neely credit. I did not originally, because you look and you see a guy that's had a lot of success get let go. You wonder why you would do that. But when you dig in, you find out that, you know, it was just one of those situations where a coach and the team, they were both ready for something different, particularly the players. And you could see that, you know, like David Krejci came back to play in Boston this year. I'm not so sure he comes back if they didn't make the coaching change. It was
right.
Just, you know, apparently didn't always see eye to eye with Bruce. Jake DeBrusk, you know, he's been traded about 9 times, right, in the last couple of years. And, you know, he's got a little bit of a new lease on life. Connor Clifton is playing really well there. I mean, and again, it's no comment on Bruce's ability to coach, because we've seen he's gone to Vegas and that team is playing really, really well. I just think sometimes coaches and teams, you get to a point in time when the coach has been there 5-6 years and the team is similar personnel, and you know, you're not going to trade everybody out of there, so you need to make a change. So good for the Bruins management group to identify that. Jim Montgomery is getting a second chance after having some issues in Dallas, and has proven to be a really good coach thus far. And, you know, we'll see where it goes from here. But that's no question. They've been really impressive so far in all areas. And the fact that they've been able to do it when they had to start the season with Marchand out for the first
right.
month or so, and then McAvoy, as you mentioned, just coming back last week. I mean, that's pretty impressive. So, yeah, this is a hell of a team right now, but we got a long way to go.
And the same can be said for the Devils. I mean, we'll be very repetitive from our conversation last Monday, but nothing's really changed. 9 straight wins now.
Yeah.
They've faced their adversity, too. I mean, they played the other day with Smed as the starting goaltender and Dawes as the backup because they've got injuries to Blackwood, who always seems to be hurt. And Vanacek out as well, and I'm still dubious about their goaltending. I mean, they're still a very young team, but they can fly, they can skate, and they can do a lot of great things. But they don't have great goaltending, and now with the goaltending hurt, it's really been a surprise they've been able to keep it together.
Yeah, I mean, and I hope, like from what I understand, Vanacek is back on the ice today, and he's been around, so hopefully okay. This is going to be a short term thing for him. We'll see what happens with Blackwood. It's 3 to 6 weeks with his injury. Schmid came in and played well the other night in relief against Ottawa, then against Arizona. I think the schedule has kind of been favorable to them, especially
that
the
is
fact
true.
They don't have any back-to-backs. They don't have any back-to-backs until after Thanksgiving, so that's good where you're not pressed with goaltending. And, you know, they play Ottawa. They played Arizona. They played some teams that you should be able to handle, right? So, if you're playing as well as they are. But it's been a good group. Their offense is they're just flying. They lead in a lot of categories, a lot of statistical categories, all kinds of, you know, analytic stats that they really have played very, very well to back that up. Their defense has been solid. It's much like we talked about. You're right, it is a little bit repetitive, but, they're playing really well. The fans are even apologizing to Lindy Ruff.
Yeah, how about
nice
that?
The other night, a little sorry Lindy chant there, and Lindy was funny. He said, I accept the apology. Maybe we could all go out and have a beer. And so that was nice. So things are going well right now, but the schedule will get harder, and, you're going to run into the Bostons and the other top dogs in the conference and the division and around the league, and that's where the test will come. They've been excellent so far. There's no question about it.
And listen, I don't think anybody believes they're going to sustain this pace, no question. But we've had so many conversations going back to the old NHL Live days, EJ, about American Thanksgiving. And if you're in the playoffs after Thanksgiving, you know, majority of the time you will get to the playoffs because it's really difficult to move with all these 3-point games. So these points still count, right? So you accumulate them.
Yes, they do.
And that could really help you so they could sustain maybe a 3-4 game winless streak somewhere down the road because of the points they're compiling right now. They've got a hot Montreal team coming up tomorrow, but, you know, certainly a team they feel like they can beat. Just gobble the points up. They don't go bad, right? So
in
what is wide open Metropolitan Division, who knows? They could still make the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I think they have a great chance to make the playoffs just because they banked these points. I mean, conversely, Pittsburgh had a stretch where I think they got one out of a possible 12 or 14 points, where they, St. Louis in the West had a stretch where they've lost a lot of games in regulation. I mean, these games all count. And for the Devils, for teams like the Devils that are trying to make that next step, I mean, this is a great thing because you've given yourself now a little bit of a cushion. You're gaining confidence. I think, another thing that's overlooked here is the health of Nico Hischier, their captain. Nico Hischier's a really good player. And I don't think we've seen the best of Nico Hischier over the last couple of years because of injury problems he's had. And right now he's been healthy, and he's showing people really what he's all about as a former first overall pick. So the Devils are fun, and the place has been rocking over there, and fans have been filling the building. So we'll see if it keeps up.
Speaking of schedule, I was talking to guys over with Arizona yesterday. 14-game road trip, my God! Now they were given, I guess, a soft open at Mullet Arena, but they want to get the annex done. so that visiting teams aren't dressing in what looked like where the Revenge of the Nerds slept, if you remember from the movie. That's what it kind of looked like. But, God, a 14-game road trip, they're just like taking you all over North America. They're only five deep into it. Good on them. They're 3-2. They actually had a three-game winning streak to start the road trip. But that's a season killer. That's a game longer than what the Islanders had to go through last year.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, now they're a team, like the Islanders last year were a team that was coming off back-to-back appearances in the Final Four. So, I mean, it was a little different. The Arizona Coyotes are a team that's in a rebuild mode, although they've played pretty well. I mean, they had a little bit of a winning streak coming into the weekend where they lost to the Devils and the Rangers. But it's tough. There's no question. We had a couple of the kids in, Dylan Gunther and Barrett Hayden, came into our studios on Friday to talk. And, you know, I think with this team, it's a younger team that we saw than they had last year. And I just think that, I was talking to their GM, Bill Armstrong, at the Flyers-Senators game on Saturday. And, you know, he was joking. He's like, boy, we're winning a lot more than I thought so far. And, I said to him, you know, maybe your team is just, you got young players. They don't understand. They just think, you know, hey, we're here. We're gonna play, and we're gonna win. And so, and Vemelka has played well in goal. So it's an interesting situation. Hopefully, they got the arena vote. I guess in Tempe is going to be in May to decide if they're going to move forward with that arena and with the entertainment center there and everything. And I'm hoping, for the sake of the franchise, the people in Tempe decide to go for it. That'd be awesome. So that will really determine what's going to happen moving forward. But I think Bill and his staff there are doing a nice job kind of building that, and they're trying to time their rebuild with the timeline of maybe being in a new building. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. But they got some good young players there. And, you know, it's like all these teams, Don. I said it last week. I'll probably say it, I'll probably be saying it until I'm done doing this business. Yeah. But it's competitive, and night after night, anybody can beat anybody, and you better be ready to play.
Oh, you have to, because everybody's got skill, and all these games are close. It's really the way it is in sports, period. You know, we're just coming off a Sunday of football where all the games come down to, one possession. That's the way sports are. I mean, that's how the salary cap really set these sports up, where everybody's on an even playing field, and everybody's working with the same amount of money, and it really just comes down to who does it better than who. But you look at a team like Arizona, they got the third-best power play in the league, eighth-best kill, Keller's a really special player. I mean, if Keller had played for a better team, I think he'd be more recognized for his skill set. It just, he's been in Arizona, and their games are late, and they haven't been very good, and he hasn't been on a grand stage. No games are on national television, but everybody's got that. You know, Dave was looking at that. We were watching Nashville, and you look at the Nashville had had 3 wins in 12 since coming back from the Czech Republic. I mean, the stats tell you that they're a bad hockey
team. Struggle.
But there are players there, and they can play.
No question about it. I mean, I thought Nashville was going to – it was one of the many things I've been wrong about this year, Don. I thought Nashville was going to be a really dangerous team building on last year, and with the addition of McDonough, and it just has not played out for them so far.
Well, they're another team, right? Their Kreider is Duchesne. Like, can you expect Duchesne to score 43 goals again, right? So he had never scored more than 30.
How about Josi? I mean, 96 points last year, and like, Yossi's a great player, but he's, on a 60-point year, that's a great year. He had 96 points last year, Don, and that played into, those guys all had big offensive years together, and, somebody said to me, kind of why they call these things career years, because they don't happen every year, and it's just another reason why I'm gaining more and more respect for the McDavids and the Crosbys and the Ovechkins and the guys in all sports. I mean, across the different sports, the guys that can do it night after night after night is they are special, and I don't know if we appreciate that enough.
Yeah, and the one consistent thing over the years for Nashville has been their goaltending, and they have not gotten it so far this year. Outside of Saturday, Soros was really, really good. But otherwise, you're talking about a guy that's, under – a 900 save percentage, that's not him.
Nope, and it's the same problem in Vancouver with Thatcher Demko, so much to the point that they're playing Spencer Martin a little bit more now. And, John Hines made a similar decision last week and put Kevin Lankinen in for a game that, same thing. I mean, the great goalies appreciate the guys who are able to do it year after year after year, because it's not easy, and there are times where there's you know, where you struggle, or it's just not as easy as it was the year before for whatever reason. But you know, certainly I identified both Soros and Demko as two guys that are really, it's been kind of a struggle for them this year, and those franchises are you know, the records indicate that.
Well, enjoy the ceremonies tonight.
I will.
Do you have any idea why Senators Islanders are at 5:30 today?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you do?
Daniel Alfredson is being inducted into the Hall of Fame, and the Senators organization wanted their fans to be able to stay after the game in the building and listen to his acceptance speech in Ottawa. So
that's
why the game is starting early.
See, that's why I love you. You have answers to the question, and good on the Senators. That's actually having your finger on the pulse of your fan base and doing the right thing. It gives me hockey to watch during the K-Show, which I always enjoy.
That's right, because those guys will start babbling on, and you'll get disinterested at some point, and you'll be looking for an outlet, so that'll be nice. You can look at the Islanders on the power play, baby.
There you go. Yeah, watch that. Right. But that should be fun. But listen, love all you. Right. Thank you so much for helping us
love
out this
too.
Monday.
You got it. Anytime, Don. We'll talk to you next week.
I'm looking forward to it, buddy. Enjoy Toronto.
All right.
That is the great E.J. Raddick, joins us every Monday. And as we mentioned, there is a 5:30 game today. Depending on when you're listening to this podcast, it might already be underway or over. But the Islanders will be at the Senators at 8:30 tonight. The Flames play host to the Kings, while the Hurricanes will be at Chicago to take on the Blackhawks. And all of a sudden, the rejuvenated Blues have won a couple of games in a row. We'll take on the Avalanche, who have also been hot. That game will be in Denver. The Avalanche have won four in a row. You knew they were going to right that ship at some point. They're sitting in third place in the Central Division, 2 points back of Winnipeg, with a game in hand on Winnipeg and two games in hand on second place Dallas. So you got some games tonight. Enjoy the Hall of Fame ceremonies. And good job by the Ottawa Senators, seriously, to be able to do that for their fans. Daniel Alfredson, certainly the greatest player in franchise history, and the fans deserve to get a chance to see that in the building that he helped build back there in Ottawa. So that was a lot of fun. We will get back to your tweets on Wednesday. So if you want to get in touch with me, at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. We'll talk to you again then. This was the Monday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.